A Roman emperor sits in his war tent, exhausted from years of plague, betrayal, and endless conflict. Yet Marcus Aurelius writes words that will echo across two millennia. The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. This wasn't philosophy for its own sake. It was survival wisdom forged in fire. Today, NFL coaches tape it to locker room walls. Silicon Valley founders recite it before product launches. Arnold Schwarzenegger calls it the foundation of everything he's achieved. What connects a Roman emperor to modern champions? They've cracked a code most people never see. Obstacles aren't roadblocks to success, they're the raw material of it. John D. Rockefeller was 25 when financial panic gripped America in 1857. While competitors fled, he bought failing companies at bargain prices, eventually controlling 90% of America's oil market. His secret? Seeing things as they are rather than through fear's distorting lens. Reuben Hurricane Carter spent 19 years wrongfully imprisoned. His body was caged, but his mind remained free. He refused prison uniforms and routines, studying law and philosophy instead. When exonerated, he sought no damages. He understood Shakespeare's truth: nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. This isn't positive thinking. It's the difference between reaction and response. Delayed flights trigger rage, but does anger make planes arrive faster? Market crashes spark panic, but does fear reveal opportunities? We control exactly one thing: how we perceive obstacles. That power can never be taken away, only surrendered voluntarily. When an enemy shell killed a horse mere feet away, Ulysses S. Grant calmly continued adjusting troop positions. When a steamboat exploded at headquarters, he ran toward danger, organizing rescue efforts with steady hands. His unshakable calm became a strategic weapon. Soldiers drew strength from his steadiness. NASA understood this when training astronauts, emphasizing one skill above all: not panicking. They recreated launch day hundreds of times until every sight and sound became familiar. When John Glenn's heat shield was reported loose during orbit, he made critical decisions that saved his mission while maintaining perfect composure. The Greeks called this apatheia, freedom from harmful emotions, not feeling nothing, but refusing to let destructive emotions take hold. Real strength lies in domesticating emotions through questions. What exactly is causing this reaction? What can I control? What's the worst possible outcome? This systematic approach transforms vague fears into manageable challenges, building what the Stoics called the inner citadel, a fortress of calm that external circumstances cannot breach. We judge instantly, reacting without examination, but humans can question impulses and override automatic reactions through conscious awareness. The Stoics developed exercises to strip away legends encrusting ordinary things. Marcus Aurelius described roasted meat as dead animal, vintage wine as old grapes, purple robes as sheep wool dyed with shellfish blood. The aim? Seeing things as they truly are, free from social conditioning and emotional overlays. George Clooney transformed his acting career with this shift. Instead of taking rejection personally, he realized casting directors desperately need someone who can make their project successful. Auditions became his chance to solve their problem, not seek validation. This reframe changed everything: his energy, presence, and results. When advising friends, their problems seem crystal clear because we lack emotional attachment. We should approach our own obstacles the same way, pretending they're happening to someone else. This mental distance allows wisdom to emerge. Perception precedes action, and right action follows right perspective. Demosthenes was born sickly, with a speech impediment, and orphaned at 7. When his inheritance was stolen, he created a brutal training regimen, practicing speeches with pebbles in his mouth, shouting into beach winds, even shaving half his head to force himself to stay studying. When asked the three most important traits of speechmaking, he replied, "Action, action, action." Amelia Earhart embodied this spirit. In the 1920s, she accepted being mere cargo on the first female transatlantic flight, not even the pilot, paid only $500. She understood that momentum matters more than perfect circumstances. Within 5 years, she became the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. But action without process leads to chaos. Coach Nick Saban's philosophy, the process. While other coaches obsess over championships, Saban teaches players to concentrate solely on the immediate task. Think about what you needed to do in this drill, on this play, in this moment. When facing overwhelming challenges, the process becomes your lifeline. A surgeon focuses on each precise cut, not the entire operation. A writer creates one scene at a time, not the whole novel. Being trapped is just a position, not a fate. You escape through small, deliberate actions, not superhuman strength. George Washington wasn't the glorious general of American lore. He was wily and evasive, leading an under-trained army that avoided direct confrontation. His celebrated Delaware crossing on Christmas surprised sleeping German mercenaries, perfectly exploiting the unexpected. Military historian B.H. Littlehart found that of 280 historical military campaigns, only 6, a mere 2%, were won through direct attacks. The other 98% succeeded through indirect approaches, deception, or strategic positioning. Victory comes from flanks and unexpected angles. Gandhi exemplified this. He didn't fight for India's independence. He made the British Empire do all the fighting and losing. His salt march exposed colonial absurdity without direct confrontation. The Russians defeated both Napoleon and the Nazis by retreating and letting winter do the work. Mississippi River boat captains once used the current's force to slingshot vessels upstream through kedging. This principle appears in martial arts, like judo, where an opponent's strength becomes their weakness. Sometimes moving backward or sideways is the best way forward. When Thomas Edison's factory burned down at age 67, destroying priceless research, he told his son, "Go get your mother and all her friends. They'll never see a fire like this again." Within weeks, his factory was operational. Despite losing nearly $1 million, Edison generated $10 million in revenue that year. This exemplifies amor fati, loving whatever happens. It transforms what we must do into what we get to do. Abraham Lincoln's crippling depression nearly drove him to suicide twice, yet this burden became the forge that created his greatest strength, equipping him to lead a nation through its darkest hour with compassion other politicians lacked. Theodore Roosevelt built his will through necessity. Born sickly with debilitating asthma, he worked out feverishly for 5 years after his father told him, "You have the mind, but haven't got the body." This training prepared him for losing his wife and mother on the same day and surviving an assassination attempt where he finished his speech with a bullet in his chest. The Stoic goal isn't mere acceptance, but genuine enthusiasm. We can't choose what happens, but we can choose how we feel about it. Every adversity contains fuel for growth. As the Haitian proverb says, "Behind mountains are more mountains." Each obstacle overcome proves you're worthy of more, not around obstacles, but through them, transformed and strengthened because of them.